Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Leo Laporte, episode 49 for December 6th, 2008, XMPP. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show that covers free Libre open source software each and every week. Thanks to our good man, Mr. Randall Schwartz, who's been organizing all these great interviews. Hi, Randall.
Hello, Leo.
How's the arm?
One arm Schwartz. One arm
Schwartz,
yes. I've been using Randall One Arm in the IRC chat room for a while. I think because it best describes why I don't type very fast as I'm coming back. Although I am starting to use most of the fingers on my left hand for most of the keys on the left side of the keyboard. It's actually good for me to start building up some of the muscle strength in there. But my range of motion is still very limited. It still swells maybe 4 or 5 times a day. I have to throw a bunch more ibuprofen at my stuff. So I've been doing physical therapy twice a week.
Probably hurts a lot.
Actually, that's not bad. They have this wonderful machine. You stick your hand in it, and it feels like a sandstorm. It's swirling around. It's warm. It's like 102 degrees in there, and it pelts your hand. But you can start moving your hand around more because it's warm, and for some reason, the little pelting of it, it's actually not sand. It's cornmeal. So they're flying cornmeal around at you at high speeds, and it's actually the best machine. I want it at home.
I want a cornmeal machine. How can I have one of those?
It's really cool. You know, and the other thing they told me, they're making me hungry because they put me in this cornmeal machine. They also tell me to get a big bowl of rice and run my left hand through the rice just to provide resistance as well. So I've been doing as much of that as I can. But I tell you, it's going really slow. And I've talked to people about the fact that since I have a plate in my arm, all of the muscles and all the tendons have to sort of work their way around this plate and sort of get used to the fact that this is sort of in the way. And it's slow and it's annoying. And I'm just now getting to the point where I can sleep without waking myself back up by moving my hand around too much in my sleep. But I'm tying my shoes now, which is really nice. I can tie my shoes again. Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, I can't tie them very tight, but at least I can get them to the point where they look like they're tied. So that's a good part. But
now, I'm very excited about our guest today, Peter St. Andre. Tell me about Peter St. Andre.
As soon as I mentioned that we were going to get Peter on the show, you have been, you know, when is he coming on? When's he coming on? This is the day. Today's the day. Peter St. Andre is one of the lead documentation and publicity people for the Jabber protocol, also known as XMPP. So it's the sort of the instant messaging protocol that was meant to be open source and lots of clients and servers written for it already. It's built into things like iChat and Pigeon and iAdium and things like that so that you can have sort of an alternative to the proprietary protocols like MSN and AIM and Yahoo protocols. And it's really this should be a really interesting show because he's a pretty exciting person. I talked to him for a few minutes before we came on, and he sounds like a fun guy to chat with.
You probably know about Jabber. You may say, "Oh, wait a minute, I use AIM or ICQ or some other MSN, Yahoo Messenger." But if you ever use GTalk, Google Talk, that's based on Jabber, and there's a lot of Jabber in a lot of websites, kind of behind the scenes too. It's a way of not just of instant messaging, but a way of having programs talk to one another, having people. Well, I have some interesting. I'll tell you what. I have some interesting ideas for how I would like to use XMPP. But let's get to Peter on the line with us right now, because I want to pitch him later on in the show. Mm-hmm. So, Peter, where are you located?
Denver, Colorado.
A perfect, Mile High, less air, but a lot of programmers live up there.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's a Denver Boulder area has a lot of programming history, especially a lot of Unix expertise. There were a lot of back offices operations up this way years ago. So,
maybe that's it. Maybe that's why. Yeah. How did you get go ahead.
No, after you.
Peter, as we've mentioned, is executive director of the XMPP Standards Foundation, the patron saint of Jabber. And I'm reading from your bio now. Amateur poet, musician, essayist, and philosopher, and just one small voice for the world's most powerful minority, a minority of one.
That's right.
I love it. So how'd you get involved with Jabber and XMPP?
Well, I never did any IM stuff until 1999. And after I had moved out to Denver, I was working for a small company which became the parent company of Jabber Inc. There's a whole long history to that. But the first week or so that I was working for this company, I met Jeremy Miller, who is the founder of Jabber Technologies. He's the original inventor of all this Jabber XMPP goodness. And he kind of roped me in. I liked Jer, and I got involved with the community early on, not at the very beginning, but pretty close to the beginning of Jabber Technologies, and have been hooked ever since.
Was it at the time, was the point just to kind of duplicate ICQ, or were you trying to do something else?
Well, Jeremy was tired of running multiple IM clients, you know, for ICQ and AIM and MSN and all those kinds of things. And so Jabber originally had two purposes. One was, hey, if we put all this technology for talking to the different IM services on the server side, I could just have one client. And so I could run a server that would then translate to all these different technologies. But at the same time, if we have this native technology for IM, we could build an open alternative. So then now we wouldn't be beholden to the AOLs and the Microsofts of the world. We could have an independent technology that anyone could run at their own domains, kind of like email or IRC or any of those kinds of things. And then we could build an open alternative.
Wasn't also one of the goals to make sure that it could tunnel through HTTP proxies? I seem to remember that from the early documentation.
Yeah, because you had open ports if you wanted to use ICQ or AIM in the business or whatever. I mean, it was a real pain.
Yeah, one of the cool things about Jabber, right, from early on, is that as long as if I was inside a corporate firewall, I could use an HTTP proxy and still be able to talk to Jabber outside.
Right. So that was sort of a client-side support thing that we also had these HTTP proxies that you could talk through. I mean, you can run a Jabber server on any port you like, and there's things like jabber80.com where you can just runs over port 80. So since you can run your own server, you can run it on whatever port you have. Our default port is 5222 for the client server bits, but you can run it on any port you want.
The thing that most interests me about Jabber is XMPP. What is XMPP? How does that relate to Jabber?
Well, so when Jeremy started the Jabber project back in early 99, in fact, the 10th anniversary is coming up here in just about a month of the first announcement on Slashdot.
Wow, that's neat.
We all called it Jabber, and that was fine. When we formalized the protocol, so the original Jabber community, the developers, was pretty small when I joined. There was only a couple dozen developers and 500 users or something like that. Jeremy wrote a server. He had a basic client, but Jared was not really a client guy. So other people jumped in and wrote clients that would connect to the server that he was writing.
As it should be, by the way. Why write a client? I mean,
Right. So then we have a client server technology. Well, all of a sudden you got a wire protocol so that the clients need to talk to the servers and one server can talk to another. Right. And that wire protocol eventually got to be formalized through the IETF. The Internet Engineering Task Force. And when we did that, we called it XMPP because, you know, all good protocol names, you got HTTP, SMTP, you know, you got to have a four-letter acronym with a P at the end. So
extensible messaging protocol for pirates?
protocol.
There's the first P is presence. So presence is really one of the key things about real-time communication. I don't want to have to send you an email or leave you a voicemail. If I know you're online, I mean, that's what I am. That's what all these services do. I know you're online and I can know something about your capabilities. Now I can realize, hey, I can interact with you right now. I don't have to have delayed communication.
Right.
So presence is really one of the key things behind XMPP and all of these sorts of real-time technologies. And it's really one of the hard bits. It all sounds like it's IM, but presence is really one of the real bandwidth hogs for this kind of technology, because, you know, if I've got, I personally have well, let's see how many people I've got on my buddy list. I've got buddy list is a trademark term, so I shouldn't use that. But I have almost 2,100 people in my.
Whoa! Wow! Whoa! I've got like seven.
So when I change my presence, Leo, right? What happens is
that's a lot of messages.
That's a lot of messages, right?
Is it pushed? Is it pulled? How does it?
It's pushed. So one of the key things about presence is it's not a polling mechanism because it just would fall over if you, right. If people were polling for my presence. The thing about presence is it's a pub sub basically technology, right? So I want to have immediate presence information, and in order to get immediate presence information, you'd have to poll so often that your servers would fall over.
Right.
And we can talk about that's what's happening to some of these social networking sites like the Twitters and Identicas and these kinds of services that they tend to fall over as well because they're essentially doing kind of a rich presence technology, right? Whenever I do a tweet, I am.
Yes, thank you for calling it a tweet, not a twit.
Yeah, sorry.
Fur in my saddle.
So whenever I could do a tweet, right? If people are polling for that every 10 minutes, your service is basically going to fall over. Right. So,
That's really fascinating, and it gets to a much larger issue, which we're going to get to, of course. So, and you said pub sub. Let me just define that because you hear that a lot when you start talking about XMPP. That's publish subscribe.
Right. So it's basically a software design model of. If I have a standing subscription for certain information, I will get that information, an information change pushed to me whenever there's a state change, right? So that's the publish and the subscribe. I subscribe, and then whenever you publish information like you, now there's a new tweet available for you, that gets pushed to me automatically instead of me having to poll for that information.
In the XMPP model, is the server keeping track of that?
Yes, so there's a subscription on the server side. Let's just talk about presence for the moment.
Okay.
When we are added to each other's contact lists, or I approve a subscription for you to my presence, that is stored on the server side. And whenever I log into the server, I can get my updated information about who my subscribers are. Then whenever I change my presence, let's say I go to lunch and my client does some sort of auto away thing.
Right.
That, hey, I haven't been there for 10 minutes, it is going to publish a presence update to my server, and then my server will say, well, Leo's online and Randall's online and all these other people are online, and they want their subscribers to Peter's presence, so now I'm going to push that change out to Leo and Randall and all the others.
And that is more robust and can handle traffic better than a poll model.
Well, so then, so let's say that again, people want to know about these information changes right away because that's how presence is. We're accustomed to things happening in real time or something close to real time. If you wanted to know that my presence was changing because you really care about this or you want to get my latest tweet, you might poll every 10 minutes. I know the Twitter guys had to limit it to 10 minutes because – and even then, if I'm going to be late to the game, right, if you just posted something – 10 minutes could go by and, a whole conversation could have happened with replies and tweets in response and all those kinds of things, right? So 10 minutes is too long, right? I want to know about something immediately when it happens. But if I do that, if now let's say I've got those 2,000 people, I don't probably have 2,000 people following me on Twitter or Identica or some service like that. But if they're going to poll every 10 minutes, basically – I might be sleeping for 10, 8 hours or something like that and not post anything, but yet I've got 100 people
think of the traffic.
Every 10 minutes polling the server, and all the server's saying is, nope, nothing's changed. Well, that's a big waste of resources on the server side. Mm-hmm. So it's much more efficient to manage these subscriptions and then only push out a change when something interesting has happened.
Assume nothing has happened unless you hear otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I have 64,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, that would be ridiculous. I mean, the equivalent would be
if, say, instead of me subscribing to a whole bunch of mailing lists where once a message comes through, that just automatically gets delivered to my inbox, if I had to go out to every one of the 35 mail servers that might hold possibly some new mail for me. It would take a, it'd be kind of crazy. And actually, it's funny because RSS actually is this polling system, and I've sort of argued that that means it's not going to scale over time, but things like Google and other aggregators are sort of alleviating some of that.
I have some thoughts. A little later on, I want to pitch Peter on some stuff. You've written some very interesting white papers on kind of using messaging and using XMPP as a new way of thinking about things like Twitter.
Well, I write a lot because that's basically my job, because basically I suck at coding. And so I had to find some role. You know, I was using Linux for years before I found a project that I could contribute to. I always wanted to contribute back, but, you know, I'm not really a good coder. And the Jabber guys needed some help with documentation and how-tos and stuff like that. And so I said, hey, this is my opportunity. I like what's going on. This is kind of an early stage community that's forming. And I found a niche there writing all the documentation and eventually all the specifications, because we have a ton of specifications for how all this stuff works.
Right. Yeah.
One of the interesting things about Jabber is, you know, Jeremy started this server project, but it's really a whole ecosystem formed pretty early on, and there are a lot of different projects. So it's not strictly open source, because the protocol is open and the protocol is freely documented, and anyone can implement it with any code license they want. So there is a very strong open source community there and aspect to how all the Jabber stuff works together, but it's not strictly open source because there's no viral element in a protocol specification. Right. People can implement it with whatever license they want.
Right.
And there are pieces at each level of this protocol that are open source, though, already implemented, right?
Right. So there's open source. There are a number of open source servers written in C and Erlang and Java and Python and Perl and so on. And then there's lots of open source clients and libraries that you can use to write bots and write components that hook into the servers. And so there's a lot of different moving parts, I suppose.
Hmm. What interests me is you've now created an architecture for more than, I mean, you've really transcended instant messaging.
Well, that's part of the idea, is because Jabber is basically, it's built on the idea of XML streams. So when you open a connection to your server, you basically have a long-lived TCP connection. We have some other bindings as well, but the TCP binding works by having a long-lived TCP connection and then incrementally sending XML. So we don't send a new whole document when you change your presence. What we do is we have a long-lived TCP connection. We have an XML stream, and you can send little bits of XML over that. Well, XML is an extensible markup language, right? You can define anything you want over that binding. So it could be SOAP, it could be XML RPC, it could be geolocation data, it could be atom feeds, it could be one thing that the Google Talk folks is they developed a way to do signaling for voice and video setup.
Right.
And there's a lot of activity going on with that, which we call Jingle. So it's not just plain text messaging, it's basically any sort of little structured XML that you want to send over the wire. We have a way to get it from point A to point B in a hurry.
It's really what ICQ originally was. I remember when ICQ came out, they wanted to think of it as internet dial tone. And
right.
And really that's what XMPP ended up being. It's a carrier for any kind of data.
Up to a point. The technology is really optimized for these small bits of information. We're not going to do BitTorrent over Jabber or something like that, right? So it's optimized for smaller pieces of information that could be presence or messaging or something like that. Just because it's XML doesn't mean we're going to send it over the wire, because it could be the Emacs manual in XML or something like that. That's not going to work. You know, we're really optimized for small bits of information, but within that context, yes, you can send any sort of information you want. We don't typically handle binary well, because it's all XML. So if we want to do some binary stuff, we typically go out of band. Let's say you want to transfer a file, or we want to do this Jingle stuff with voice and video. We don't send that stuff through the server. We do the signaling through the XMPP channel, and then we go peer-to-peer, or we go through a media relay
You just do it by reference, right?
Right.
Essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
The hard part of that is when both of the clients that are trying to transfer their data are behind NATs, which would make it a little tricky. And I'm sure there's ways to get around that, same way AIM and those other services can do it.
Right. So the approach we take is to use the specifications and technologies that the IETF has defined for NAT traversal and things of that kind. And yes, that's how basically Google Talk does it and how the other Jabber XMPP Jingle implementations do it. We have ways to figure out, okay, here's a whole set of possible IP port combinations, and let's try to figure out which ones will work, and then we'll use those, which could be directly peer-to-peer. It could be through a media relay. Yes, that gets pretty gnarly.
Yeah. You couldn't be more timely, though, because really this live streaming and presence streaming and all of this stuff has become very hip right now, and people are really interested in doing all of this. And yeah, XMPP comes up again and again as kind of the natural way to do it.
It can be. I mean, one of the challenges is that services like Twitter and Brightkite and Fire Eagle and all these kinds of things, some of them were originally structured as kind of websites. You know, you go to the website, you post your update, and your update gets posted. And I think that can get you quite a ways, but at some point you realize, hey, this is actually a messaging system. It's not a website. Right. And we're really just sending out presence or extended presence or messaging. And that requires a different kind of architecture than a frequently updated website does, because you've got all these subscribers or followers or whatever you want to call them. And that's really a different kind of model.
That's why something like Identica decided to go, or Laconica, I mean, decided to go with some sort of XMPP backend to do server transfer.
It's kind of an afterthought. I mean, that's the thing, is that in many ways, Evan just kind of follow. He even says this. He says, I made the same mistake Twitter did, which is seeing it as a micro blog, not as a messaging system. And there's no reason you can't have, I mean, if you think about it, if you start with the messaging system, there's no reason you can't have a website. I mean, that's just one way of displaying it, but that's not where you begin.
Leo, I think what you say is very interesting, because one of the things I've seen in talking with people who are working in this space and other spaces as well is that it's not that we have web applications and we've got IM applications and we've got voice applications. We've really just got applications, and there are different interfaces to those applications. So I might have a voice interface to Twitter, right? And I'm sure there are some like that, right? So I can pick up the phone and call a number.
Yeah, utters.
And I can say there you go. See? Yep. But there are different interfaces, these applications, and sometimes the ideal interface uses something like XMPP. Sometimes it's a voice. Sometimes it's web. And different people are comfortable with different modalities, and the different technologies that we have just provide interesting interfaces to that same core application. Now, how you architect it on the back end can have significant impact. Right. If you're really trying to do messaging, but you built it originally as a website, well, you might have some challenges. But I'm not an either or kind of person. And so to say that, it's either got to be a website microblog, or it's got to be an IM messaging presence engine, I don't think that's a helpful discussion. I think the helpful discussion is, okay, if we're trying to scale these sorts of systems, what are the best technologies to use? Right. And we can have different kinds of interfaces to that same system.
Right. Right.
It's like RSS was sort of an intermediate compromise on that. But like I said, RSS is a polling solution and XMPP is a pushing solution. So maybe things need to migrate more towards that and replace RSS someday.
Well, it may happen that way. People, there are all sorts of tricks you can do to try to get HTTP polling to scale with e-tags and things of that kind. And those can get you quite a ways. And some people are pretty successful with that. I mean, RSS hasn't fallen over despite all of the dire predictions of, this can't scale. So, people make things scale. And in the Jabber community, we've never been trying to get rid of HTTP or get rid of SIP or get rid of any of these technologies. Just provide an alternative that enables people to build interesting applications.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm streaming video right now. I'm not going to stream it over XMPP. I'm streaming audio. I'm not going to stream it over XMPP. However,
it's just the right tool.
Right. However, if I'm streaming small bits of text, presence information, and maybe references to enclosures that are small text bits, it seems like XMPP is kind of finely tuned tool for that precise purpose.
Correct.
Well,
yes.
Well, I mean, it's like, well, it's like while we're taping this show, we've got out-of-band conversations going on in both IRC and Skype chat and whatever
well,
else we can do, too.
This gets to what I was talking about before we started, Randall, and the brainstorm I had in the hot tub this morning.
Oh, no.
We stream video. You know, people, look, people want to consume content in a variety of different ways. What I'm seeing increasingly, and I guess the light went on for me when I saw Twitter's election site, which had kind of real-time scrolling of the Twitter content, and then FriendFeed, which really did it beautifully with their real-time mini window, which I keep open all the time now, which is constantly scrolling by information. It's like a ticker. I mean, it's not brand new. Pointcast did this 15 years ago. But what strikes me is that now, in addition to streaming video and streaming audio, people would like to probably have a stream of content in the same way. And that XMPP would be kind of a natural way to do this. And so I thought maybe that's the third stream I should add to the video and the audio is some sort of, maybe it's Adam coming across XMPP or maybe it's, you know, something like that. And that seems like something that would be fairly doable.
Well, it's interesting. Leo, you noted that these live streaming technologies, I mean, it's kind of tech streaming, right?
Yeah.
They've taken off, and I don't quite know why. I mean, maybe the time was just ripe for it, but they've people really like to jump in these streams, and they don't really feel like they need to have archival, you know. Yeah,
well,
nice
you can have that,
this.
And that's a back end. You know, somewhere it could be stored in a SQL database. There's no reason it can't be stored and searched.
Sure.
I mean, but there is something about, and actually I think of it as dipping, sipping, and then bathing. And there's different ways that people interact with it. And, right. and I think this is something brand new that's just starting to happen. And as I watch my kids, the teens, this is how they live their life. They have IM open. They have, iTunes open. They have a TV going. And they are sipping and bathing in different data streams all the time. And this is a very natural way for them to interact with information.
And it's like I want all my friends to know which song I'm listening to right now, all the time.
Which is that's a presence update.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Are we bending XMPP beyond the point? I'm glad you're agnostic on this. I think that's very interesting. Instead of saying, no, everything should be XMPP, you're very practical about it. Is that bending XMPP beyond what it's intended to do?
We don't like to do all of that stuff in presence itself because presence for us is really network availability, and that's how it was designed. Mm. And you don't necessarily want to push out
iTunes
your iTunes updates to everyone in your buddy list because A, they may not have an interest, right?
Right.
And there may be kinds of information that, like, let's say your geolocation. Well, you don't necessarily want to publish your geolocation to everyone in your buddy list, right? Because they don't necessarily need to know, and they're going to follow you around. You talk about, smart mobs. You'll have people crowding you in the street, right?
Right.
So, well, you would. I don't know that anyone else would.
I wouldn't either, but maybe somebody, Barack Obama would.
Although that would be interesting, though, if you could have a structured presence where you say, here's my current thought, here's my current song, here's my current location.
Randall, you're getting to exactly what I came to in the hot tub. Yeah. I thought keywords.
Yeah. So if there's some way to because it's an XML message, you could put whatever complicated structure you want to it. As long as it's tagged, then on the receiving end, I can filter out, well, I really don't care about where Leo is today, but I might want to care about what song he's listening to.
Well, where it came to me is I thought, well, we could send out a notice that we've got a new show on that might begin with the keyword notice. We could send out a URL of, a guest name that might be guest, a URL that we're talking about that might be URL. If you tag them with keywords, then people on the other end can be selective about how they receive it.
Well, it's just an XML structure. I mean, you don't need
it's structure,
that.
Right? Yeah.
XML.
Well, maybe, but for my interface, as I'm sending it, I'm probably going to use an IM client to send this stuff out. I just type that.
Yep.
So that's brilliant because we already have this technology, and we thought you did.
That's why I wanted to ask you about it.
Right.
Yes. Well, we've been working on this stuff for a long time, so we have something that we call personal eventing, and what personal eventing is. You can publish all sorts of essentially tagged information to your Jabber ID, and then people can advertise in their presence. We have this smart way of essentially advertising. Hey, I'm interested in iTunes, and I'm interested in geolocation, and I'm interested in Atom, but I'm not really interested in what videos people watch and all that kind of stuff. And so now I can – you can advertise what you're interested in. I can advertise the information bits that I have, and we just magically on the server side, these – Evanescent subscriptions automatically get set up so that now when I publish my tunes information, you get my tunes, but you don't get my geoloc or vice versa. However, whatever the tags are that everyone is interested in publishing just magically sort of goes if you're in my buddy list.
Are there any clients that support that protocol yet?
Well, they are all in process. You know, we've worked on some of these technologies for a while, and now they're really just starting to get deployed. So part of the challenge is in our community, it's not like Skype, right, where it's a monolithic client and a monolithic service. We've got lots of different servers, and we've got different deployments and lots of clients. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg scenario sometimes. But yes, a lot of the servers now have support for this. And now that the servers have it, the clients are adding support. And it's really starting to roll out in interesting ways.
I was just thinking, of course, that this might be a perfect project for me to work with Leo on in Seaside.
Well, I'm thinking, I found it interesting, there's a Mac client that does more about with presence.
Yeah.
That kind of is getting us there. I think this would be great to have a client where you could, you could tag or somehow, you know, automatically say structure the information that you're sending out so that people could participate. And I think that this is a new way of streaming. But what's interesting, Peter, is you guys have been thinking about this since 99. And maybe you were writing a tool for one purpose, but the world is now coming along to this new way of looking at messaging that's much more than an IM call, much more than a chat back and forth.
Right. So, you know, part of the beauty of using XMPP is that it's pretty much payload agnostic. The servers are kind of, I mean, they do some smart things on your behalf, but in some ways they're kind of dumb. So if you want to route information around, let's say you want to route some Atom information or tune information about, you know, what people are listening to, those kinds of things. The server doesn't care about that. It doesn't do deep packet inspection to figure out, people aren't supposed to be sending music information around. And so it's the server, one of the reasons maybe I'm agnostic about some of this stuff is we just have a transport for XML, and what you want to do with that is up to you.
Right.
And so that's the same thing with this personal eventing stuff. We don't care what the events are. You know, maybe it's, you know, where you are or what you're listening to or what you're watching or what games you're playing or all those kinds of things. We don't care. We've just got a transport for that information so that people can publish it and consume it and do interesting things with it.
It struck me that that'd be a very good way to re-architect Twitter, is to think of Twitter as a stream of messages that then you could build, you know, You could build persistence with a database if you wanted to, which would then give you search. You could build a website if you wanted to. Or you could watch it with an IM client, which is frankly how a lot of people use these things.
Well, I think that's what their service is. They maybe just didn't realize it at the beginning.
Well, nobody did because nobody'd done it before.
Right.
So is it too late? I guess I should ask Evan that, not you. But is there any process being... Is there anybody on the XMPP side looking at architecting something with starting with messaging, moving from XMPP out instead of making it an afterthought?
Sure, yes.
So you think so? Do you know off the top?
Yeah, I think there are, for instance, let's mention the Fire Eagle folks, right? The Yahoo Fire Eagle service. So they are very much into XMPP because they realize that there's this polling problem. And what are these geolocation updates? They're really just
messages.
They're messages, right? They're presence, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. They're interesting things that happen that people want to hear about. And that's a message.
So you subscribe.
So I think we're seeing that more and more.
Yeah. So you subscribe to the message. You subscribe to a type of message. I really like that capability.
It's a topic or a channel or whatever you want to call it.
From people you're interested in. And then it is somehow delivered. An IM client is a very natural way to deliver it. But there are other ways.
Right. Or it could
be a web page.
Or it could be a little thing down in your system tray, right? Now there's an update. You know, Leo is now in a different location. Right. Or it could be a map or something like that. Right. I mean, the interfaces you know, I'm not an interface guy. I'm just a protocol geek. So I don't necessarily tend to visualize this stuff in terms of interfaces, but I think there's all sorts of fun interfaces you could do.
Sure.
You could even do like an Insta poll, you know, where you could say, here's a question right now. And within 30 seconds, you could have yes and no, or choice 1, 2, or 3 or something. That'd be really cool.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I personally don't know why. Now I know there are some advertisers and pollers and things like that on services like Twitter, but I think it's a natural. I mean, you could have a group chat room, or you could have a channel that you subscribe to for these live polls, and you could, you know, take the pulse of the whole community in a big hurry. I think it would be really fascinating.
Is now we use IRC right now as our chat channel, but you could use Jabber that way as well, right?
Right. So we have in XMPP, we have a group chat technology that we call multi-user chat. And it basically does everything that IRC does, except it has a little bit better authentication and things like that. Because in IRC, you can have these net splits and channel takeovers and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. So we've pretty much avoided some of that in our technology. It's not probably as popular, though. It is quite popular in the military and government and things like that, and also a lot of the financial sector, because they would basically have one chat room per trading desk. So let's say you have traders who are doing gold futures or pork bellies or all those things. They would have one. In the old days, you used to see those video clips of people who had 7 phones and stuff like that. Right. Now they're just all in these XMPP group chat rooms.
That's the easiest way to do it. Yeah. I was thinking of installing OpenFire, and there's been some pushback from the IRC guys because they all love IRC. But I was thinking of installing OpenFire and just creating a group room and see what happens.
Yeah, well, so there's one nice thing. There's this project called Speak, SPEEQE. It's hard to spell, but so speak.com, they have really nice web interfaces to these things. People don't have to fire up a group chat or an IRC channel. They can just go to a web page and, hey, I've got a group chat room. So it's a lot easier for people to join. They don't have to, oh yeah, what's the IRC server and those kinds of things. It's much easier just to do this stuff via the web.
I set up a Twit Live room, I remember, on Speak. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's personally, I want to change around the jabber.org site. I'm getting some pushback on this, and just make it kind of a live interface to a chat room. And that's where people could get their FAQs answered and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, like Leo, you could even set it up so that you'd have to have an Army Twit ID and then join a Jabber server that you run.
Yeah.
And
I think
then
that's how we're going to do
authenticated.
It.
Yeah.
My mods, everybody hates me for doing it, but I think it's just a better way to go. Let's change the subject a little bit. Cisco recently acquired Jabber. What does that mean for Jabber?
So that gets back to Jabber and XMPP. So let's back another history lesson. When Jeremy started the Jabber project, it was all open source. There was no corporate involvement. And that was about that way for a year. I got involved back when it was just an open source project. I'm probably the only person around in the community who's been around for that long. Either I'm stupid or I'm just dedicated. I don't know. About a year after, a little bit more after Jeremy started the open source project, there were a lot of different projects that started up, as I told you, different clients and stuff. Then someone had the bright idea. This was the .com days. Hey, let's make Jabber.com, right? And we can pursue commercial opportunities and all that kind of stuff, and which is a great idea. You know, nothing. I'm a greedy capitalist myself. I have nothing against the corporate technologies and for pay solutions. So Jabber.com was founded, and they built a totally different code base from the open source server that existed. Now, of course, there's multiple open source code bases and multiple commercial code bases. But that kind of muddied the waters, because what is Jabber? Is it a company? Is it an open source project? Is it a technology? So over time, we've sort of been teasing that apart. And that's one of the reasons that we call it Protocol XMPP instead of Jabber, because there was a Jabber server, there was a Jabber company, there was a Jabber protocol. We've tried to sort of tease those things apart over time. So there's a company called Jabber Inc. They got rid of the .com when .com wasn't so cool anymore. where I've worked for many years. I've actually worked for them just about longer than anyone else. So they've supported me working, kind of leading the community, if you want to use that term, writing all the specs, working with the IETF, all those kinds of things. But they have commercial code, commercial support. You know, they have big customers like people like, you know, a lot of the banks and government agencies and, you know, HP and big companies like that. So they have their own tech, not open source technology, proprietary licensed technology. And a lot of big companies use it because they get support and have someone to phone up and complain if things don't work and all those things, right? So that's what Cisco has purchased and will be making use of internally, is the code and the a lot of the smart people who work at Jabber Inc. And I think it's great for XMPP because, you know, Cisco's a big name and there's a lot of big companies who are using XMPP technologies these days. You know, Google uses it in Google Talk. Nokia's doing a bunch of stuff in some of their OV.com and their N-series devices. Apple's had support for it for quite some time. So there's a lot more people realizing, hey, this is a serious technology. Jabber sounds like kind of a, you know, just a teen chat thing. But, hey, this is a serious industrial-grade technology that we can use to solve all sorts of interesting problems like the polling problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I mean, so it's in other words, it doesn't really change anything. It's just just good for everybody. But we've seen this before now with Sun and MySQL, and I mean, it's not an unusual right. thing these days.
No. I think it's great. I think that you know, the more people who are using these technologies, the more hardened they'll become. We've been working on this stuff for 10 years now almost, but people are just sort of figuring out, hey, you know, this could be more than I am. I could use this for all sorts of interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what intrigues me about it. And I have all sorts of ideas. How would somebody get involved in the project if they'd like to know more? Is there a central place to go? It's not Jabber Inc. exactly. Is it xmpp.org?
Well, so I call myself the anarchitect because I like decentralization. So, you know, people say, well, you know, where is the center? Is there one place? Well, the center that we really have is through all the protocol specifications, and that's all at xmpp.org. And we have lists there of different projects that implemented in different, you know, code bases that you can run so you can download your servers, and there's lots of different servers, and we point to all those. But those are different projects, so we don't really have one centralized place for all the projects, and it's probably an artifact of my attitude towards life, which is very much in favor of decentralization.
Yeah.
So depending on what you want to do, if you want to help out with one of the server code bases because you're not really a GUI guy, well, you know, there's different server projects in Java and Python and Perl and all those. And, you know, if there's languages that you like, or if you want to help with some of the clients, there are a lot of different client projects out there. So, you know, it's supported in all the biggies like Pigeon and AIM, Adium and things like that. There's more dedicated XMPP clients like Sci and Pandion and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of different projects that one can help out with. A lot of those are really focused more on the IM side, but they're also building in support for this, like this personal eventing and things of that kind, which are not as much IM focused. So there are a lot of different projects people can join to help out.
Well, I'm going to hire somebody to set up this whole Twitch streaming thing. I got a new kind of stream I want to do. Maybe you and I should talk about that, Randall.
Yeah, maybe.
It just seems like, you know, it's just another form of stream. There's audio, video, and messaging. And
messaging, text, you know, I don't know what
text is powerful. Text is really powerful.
SMS is only 140 characters, but look at what everyone does with it.
It's amazing. And you know, the problem we have with the video and the audio is there's no way to click a link, and so that's kind of the missing piece. And I would love just to have a ticker going by underneath the video.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and it's just be an XMPP stream with content going by.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that I think is very helpful, because we are multimodal kinds of people, right? Even though you've got, as you say, audio and video, it's very helpful to have a back channel where you can, I've got the link to that. Let me post it in the IRC
Precisely.
Room or the group chat or whatever. But you could even have everyone who's listening could also be part of that.
Exactly.
Right? So if I want to, then it's more of a collaborative experience.
Precisely.
That, hey, that reminds me of something I read in this guy's blog the other day. You plunk that in there, and that becomes part of the conversation.
That's essentially what IRC is doing, but it's very transient, and it's not. It's kind of old fashioned. It's rigid in the way you can manipulate it.
Right.
I'd love to have an RSS subscription, for instance, to a stream. So if you wanted to subscribe to the stream later, you know, get it as content, you know, there's lots of different ways to eat it. That it should be as flexible as possible.
Or, you know, you could have, let's say you've got this community of people who are registered with your service. You could have a map of people who, as they join the conversation or they post things to the room, that their different colors light up, let's say, because, oh, there's a lot of activity of people who are following
that.
This over in Germany
I
or wherever.
That.
That would be kind of cool. So it's, again, I think it's, you're right. It's not just plain text. It's this structured information that people can share. It's either, you know, where they are or what they're doing or how involved they are or thoughts they have that you know, add to the conversation. I think that could be really powerful stuff.
Well,
especially we could publish things like, well, my name in this chat room right now is Randall One Arm, but you know, I'm Merlin over on Twitter.
Right.
If there's some way we could get that kind of association going on in the chat room so that people could follow me out other places. Like I see a lot of people on this chat room that I'd love to follow along to wherever else they go, but they don't necessarily have the same handle everywhere.
Is there identity in XMPP?
How do you avoid identity? Such a big topic. What do you mean by that?
There is. I mean, one of the things we talked a little bit about when we were talking about Twitter adaptation and the idea of micro messaging was namespaces. You know, in Identica, there are many different. We have an Identica client, a Laconica client, and there are many others. And you have these namespace issues, but Jabber actually solves that. You have a unique identifier in a Jabber space.
Well, yeah. So the address space in Jabber is, I mean, your Jabber ID basically looks like an email address. And in a lot of services, it is your email address, like Google Talk is the same as your Gmail address.
Right.
So we use the DNS to separate out the address space. I've never liked this tradition of screen names, you know, and, oh, yeah, on Twitter I'm this. And
yeah,
I'm this,
it's confusing.
It is. You know, people can deal with that complexity up to a point, but at some point, you need to be able to, as Randall says, how can I connect Randall One Arm over here with, you know, his Twitter feed or whatever? And we tried to do some of that in Jabber by this DNS, basically using domain names and identifiers at domain names. But of course, you could do that with Laconica instances as well. It doesn't necessarily make it easy to find out what everyone's identities are, because I could have multiple Jabber IDs too, right?
Well, you can always, you know, that's always going to happen. I mean, it's with anything. Yeah.
And it would be nice if this was tied into, say, OpenID or Facebook Connect, which, you know, being timely about this. So it'd be very nice to have something that links into those.
Right. Yeah. So we've done some work with some of the OAuth folks more recently. We haven't quite tied in as much with OpenID, though. We could certainly, over Jabber, we could advertise, oh, here's my OpenID provider, and then I could find out other information there. We're not, you know, again, we're not trying to solve all problems and be all things to all people. I think that there are probably some good connection points there that we haven't fully pursued yet.
That'd be cool.
Of being able to say, oh, it's kind of like enum, right? Based on my email address, what's my phone number? Based on my Jabber ID, what's my OpenID or my Twitter? No one has really solved that problem yet that I can see.
Well, of course, the downside of that is that, you know, marketing people would love to get a hold of that too.
Well, and I think another challenge that we see with one of the reasons we have screen names and those things to begin with is there are people, of course, who don't want to be able to let you say, okay, well, based on, you know, I know your ID over here. Now I want to find you somewhere else so I can do an end run around the service that I'm connected to right now. Those services aren't very interested in helping out with that. And that's part of the challenge that we've seen with things like Open Social. I mean, there are people who and providers who are more interested in that than others. But you know, a lot of these services, that's how they make money, is eyeballs, and they don't want to share out that information or be able to make it possible for you to get out of their little walled garden into somewhere else. But that's more of a social political problem than it is a technical problem, I think.
Which Jabber client do you prefer?
I use Sai. because, as I said, I have this, which is
Psi is the Mac one that I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's spelled PSI, but I call it Psi or C if you want to be correct about your Greek.
You know what? No one knows how the Greeks pronounced it. You say it any way you want.
It's all Greek to me, major, yes.
So. You were a Greek. Wait a minute, Peter. You were a Greek major?
Yeah, I studied Greek and ancient philosophy when I was in university, so.
Alpha, beta, kappa,
that's why
gamma.
That's why I'm not a good coder, but I can write specifications.
C, rho, sigma, tau. Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. All right, I can see.
So, but yeah.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember.
I asked you which client you used, and you said you used C.
Well, that's because my roster, my contact list is so huge that some of the other clients fall over. We actually use my contact list as a test case for client development.
Wow.
Because people say, oh, is it going to pass the Peter roster test?
2100 has to be close to the maximum anybody's got. That's amazing.
Does C use libpurple? Because if it does, it would have to, right?
No, I mean, it doesn't. No, it's C++, but it has a different underlying library.
Ah, okay. But libpurple's Adium uses, yeah.
Right, Adium and Pigeon, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, so let's see what else is going on in our community. I guess we've got there's a lot of activity right now with the voice and video stuff. Google just released their video chat, and so we've basically formalized the protocols that they used and plugged in some more IETF bits with regard to NAT traversal, as I was talking about. And so the Google folks are working on upgrading to the specs that we have, and a lot of clients are developing to that now. So I think we're going to see quite a bit of voice video stuff over the next 12 to 18 months in the Jabber world. That's going to be kind of fun stuff. We're, you know, eventually it'd be nice if we didn't have to have this conversation over Skype. We could use some open technologies.
Right.
Like so Google. That's one thing we're
Google Talk.
Yeah. So
is it doing SIP on top of XMPP, or is it its own signaling?
So we use XMPP, the way the Google Talk's defined and what we have in the Jingle specs, which is the Jingle is just kind of a formalization of Google Talk in many ways. It uses XMPP as the signaling channel because we've got a way to send these bits of XML around, right? So we XML structure what would essentially get also sent in SIP, and we've done a lot of work to make sure that Jingle and SIP can work together through gateways on the server side. So it uses XMPP as a signaling channel, and then you set up a direct connection that would typically be RTP, which is what you would end up with SIP. So we can do this translation on the signaling side, and then once you get to audio or video, you use the same underlying technologies, which is real-time transport protocol or RTP.
Okay.
And so RTP typically goes over UDP because, you know, it's voice and video. You don't mind if it's a little bit lossy, unlike file transfer or something like that. So that's one thing we're working on. We've got a lot going on with the social networking communities right now, like we've talked about with this personal eventing stuff. We are trying to finally figure out a really good end-to-end encryption technology. I'm ashamed to say that we haven't done that yet.
That's a little tricky because you've got the metadata that has to stay unencrypted or else the conversation can't be routed.
Right. Yeah. So we've got the routing information, and then how do we encrypt the packets? You know, originally we used PGP for that, but clearly, you know, Aunt Tilly doesn't have a PGP key lying around. So we need to use something that's a little bit more dynamic in terms of what the certificates might look like or those kinds of information. And that's kind of a hard problem. I mean, it's not as if Skype does it automatically, right? Because you've got just creates a key for you and everything goes. So that's really similar to the approach that we're taking to that, or kind of off the record messaging, that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's sort of a hard problem that we have not solved over the years. And that's, as I say, a bit of an embarrassment because we do really care about privacy and security.
And you can't just use SSL because that's only the link between you and the server. And you really want it to be from you to me, not just to the server.
Right. So we have SSL encryption, what the IETF calls TLS, which is transport layer security. It's SSL plus, essentially. Right. And so that we have that from client to server and server to server. But of course, someone could be listening in the middle and inside the server and those kinds of things. So it could be plain text links or hops in there. And so we really need end to end. We're basically looking at doing SSL end-to-end, because once you have the signaling channel set up, there are ways to basically sort of bootstrap that up to an encrypted connection end-to-end. So that's another thing we're working on. And, you know, we've been defining this stuff for a long time, so there's a lot of work that I think some of the clients and servers need to kind of catch up on. And so there's always a lot of work to do. It's a real challenge, I think. I mean, I have a great respect for Skype and AOL and these people who – MSN who define these silos. But I think there's even greater challenges involved in building distributed technologies that can do sort of the same things, because it's not a monolithic service, right? It's not a monolithic client. We've got multiple clients, multiple different servers out there. Anyone can – you know, install their own instance and get up and running and connect to the network. It's there's a different class of problems involved in defining distributed technologies than there are in defining a given silo. And that makes it pretty hard over time, I think.
One of the things that's interesting, I think, about Jabber is that from the beginning, it's distributed servers in the sense that, I mean, I can't necessarily use a public IRC network or an AIM network to hold private conversations, private company conversations. So, but it's pretty trivial to set up a Jabber server within my company and say, okay, I'm the only one that can connect to it. It's similar to the IRC issue, but I think Jabber servers are probably a little bit easier to manage.
Right. So, I mean, that's, you know, again, that's part of the beauty of Jabber Technologies is that a lot of people do run these behind the firewall, or they run it in their own organization. They don't necessarily connect to the rest of the world and federate with the rest of the network. And that's fine. You know, we're not telling people how they have to use these technologies, but that's very popular in government spaces and education and things like that, where they don't necessarily want to federate with the rest of the world because they don't want, you know, we've seen the challenges of email, right? That you got spam, you've got unsolicited communication, and you don't necessarily want to have that in real-time collaboration technologies.
Well, same thing with Twitter, is that Twitter's really interesting, but if it's outside and we don't control the archival, the messages, or even who can see our presence, then we get into trouble. But with something like Jabber, you can bring that in-house.
Right. So, I mean, things like, let's say what Evan's doing with Identica, right?
Yeah.
Well, you've got like Laconica. So you could run your Laconica instance inside your company and your salespeople could use it, right? And all that kind of stuff. It's not going to get archived off to some public website.
Right.
But yet we can tap into the power of these collaborative technologies in a safe environment. Let's say if you wanted all your salespeople to use it, that would be a kind of a cool thing to, you know, hey, I'm at you know, Twitter for salespeople, essentially, or sales engineers. You know, you're on site somewhere, you put out a call for help, and you get all these answers in. It's messaging.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's all very exciting, I have to say. And you couldn't be better positioned for where the world is going.
Yeah. So we, you know, there's always a lot of work to do. I'm working on right now with two of the actually side developers on a book. So O'Reilly's going to be publishing
Oh, cool.
a book about XMPP in the spring. And we're just about finished with that. So that'll be fun. I think it's, you know, people will have a resource to go to. And we've got lots of documentation. So one of the things that we've really tried to do over the years is have a long runway of both protocols and support for those protocols and clients and servers. And what you do with that is up to you. You know, you could build a jukebox system of, you know, hey, Leo's listening to this. And if Leo has followers, now everyone could, you know, cue up the tune that he's listening
right,
to. And
right.
you could have online DJ. I don't really care what people do with this technology, right? We've just really tried to build a long runway. And then what your plane looks like and where you take off to is up to you.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what we've tried to do is make it possible for people to build interesting stuff. And it's not necessarily – we know it's not going to be IM. I mean, every technology gets used in ways that no one envisioned, and
right.
I hope that we see more of that. There's a service called ChessBark, and they hooked up with the Wu Chess guy, you know, the Wuton guys, and they have this thing called Wu Chess.
Wu Chess is amazing. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's all built on –
It's based on Jabber?
Because,
oh, wow.
Yeah, because – it's messages, right?
Of course
it is. What's a chess
move?
But a
chess
message?
Move is a short message. Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Chess Park is
so
great.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really neat.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we've hoped would happen is that, hey, it's just an XML substrate. You can get stuff from point A to point B. What could you build with that? Jukeboxes, chess systems,
right.
There's a company over in the UK that does vehicle tracking, like LoJack over XMPP. We don't care what people do. It's just XML. So, you know, be creative and have fun.
Well, I love the idea of redesigning Twitter from taking it from microblogging to micromessaging, that fire hose of XMPP data that people can then hook into and do all sorts of things with. I'm intrigued by the idea of creating a third stream. We've got audio and video now. Do it an XMPP stream of text, you know, links and notes and so forth that others can contribute to.
I think we'll do that. Some kind of data streaming. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll do that. It's the third kind of streaming: audio, video, and data.
Right.
It just makes sense for me. So that's next. And if Randall, if you want to work on it, let's do it.
Oh yeah.
I really like this idea of the map. Right.
Where the map's great. It's like Twitter Vision. Yeah.
So you could see where your audience is, and maybe it moves over time, and depending on what the show is, that could be really fun.
It'd be cool to see what people are online that subscribe to what shows, which of the Twit network they listen to is sort of a big cluster, too.
Well, 30% of our audience is outside the U.S. It's actually quite interesting to watch.
Yeah,
so I think
great.
It would be a very interesting thing to do. You know, I looked at there's a kind of a silly platform. It's not silly. It's an interesting idea called Cover It Live that was to do live blogging. And it's a Flash client. I was going to try that as a way of doing it. But that's so restricted compared to what you could do with XMPP. The idea being, if you create this stream and you let others build the windows into it, there's all sorts of things they could do. So I don't have to build the map. All we have to do is make sure that the stream contains location information. Somebody else can build the map interface to it.
In fact, if you do it right, you might be able to stream it directly to Google Maps or Yahoo Maps because they have ability to suck data in. So if we set up the stream just right, people can do mashups of this like all over the place.
Well, and the key is it's XMPP. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really interested. We'll have to look into the keyword idea of how we can we can tag bits of information so that people who say, I only want to see the URLs, or I only want to see when the shows are on, or I only want to see where people are listening, can filter it out and get that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right. Well, we've got this PEP stuff that, let's get peppy and start working on this.
That's why I downloaded C, is because it has PEP in it, right?
Right. Yeah. So it has this personal eventing support, and you might even want to have. Yeah, you can publish that once you've got once you've got the data streams, people can massage it six ways from Sunday and have different interfaces. Maybe they've got a map interface. Maybe they've got an IM interface. It doesn't really matter at that point because it's just data, and how people provide those windows into it is up to them.
That's what struck me when I started really looking into micro blogging, is that they did it backwards. They started with the presentation. And then XMPP was an afterthought. You start with XMPP. The presentation can be anything. It could be a website. It could be an IM client. It could be anything. As long as you have the structured data and the fire hose, that's what people really want. Mm-hmm. And the aggregator.
Well, and the other thing is, I think that it's about the data, but it's also about community. So let's say if you and Randall and all sorts of people are publishing out what tunes they listen to, right? Well, if you've got favorites, that you can now chat with people who are listening to the same thing you are at this moment, right? Or that you could chat with people who are interested in the same music, or maybe they've got other interests. I mean, once you've got that data, you can also, I think, do really interesting things to build communities.
Yes. And that's really what we're all about. I mean, we're a different form of, broadcasting has traditionally been one to many. And the only interesting thing, and from my point of view, to do with broadcasting at this point is do community to many to many. But you need ways to manage it. You need ways to allow people to participate and deliver a stream that people can then use. And that's where XMPP is so powerful.
Yeah, I think those data streams, as you say, it's really the third leg of the stool.
Yeah. Exciting.
I'm getting excited
about
it.
Just thinking about
the fact that that Leo, you could be building the first multi real time casting network
out there. That's my plan. That's the hot tub insight I had this morning. I think
it'll be called Leo casting.
Leo cast.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I do think that this is something that people are looking for. When I look at this real time feed from FriendFeed, you start to feel like that satisfies what I'm looking for, which is this kind of constant flow of information through the cortex.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's dipping, sipping, and bathing, right?
Dipping, sipping, and bathing. Yeah, like you choose how you want to do it. I'm actually giving a keynote on this at Macworld, and I'm hoping to have something ready to go by the time I do that in about 5 weeks. So let's get to work.
All right, let's get going.
Peter, great to talk to you. This is very exciting. Yeah. XMPP.org is the XMPP site, but you can find Peter on his brand new, newly fleshed out WordPress blog. It's stpeter.im.
Yes, I've been blogging since 2000, but recently, you know, all the cool kids have these .im addresses now, so I figured I'd get one.
What is that short for?
That's actually the Isle of Man.
Okay.
But, of course, a lot of people who are into instant messaging use it, but it also, I kind of like it because it's like St. Peter, I am. This is who I am, right?
I am.
So it's kind of a fun
thing. I want
to
get a Leo.im. Who's the registrar for the Isle of Man?
Oh, you got it. Well, it's nick.im.
It's just a guy. It's a man.
It's just a guy.
Hello. Hello. You want an IM? All right. Get it for you.
Yeah,
would you like a sheep with that?
There's only one registrar, and it's nic.im, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got the .am registry is Armenia. And you have to go through the Armenian registry. Which is fun.
Yes, I know a guy whose email address is up@3.am. So,
oh, I like that.
Got in early.
And then Libya decided that they could do something with .ly. So now there's .ly. Yeah.
So that's the adverb sites.
The adverb sites, exactly, Peter.
Early and only. Yes.
See, he was a Greek major. He knows his conjugations and his verb forms and all that stuff. Cool. Great to talk to you, Peter.
Yes, let's. Once we finish this book, we'll. This should be the next couple of weeks. You know, but feel free to poke me if you've got questions about
this,
and I can connect. I'm sort of the hub of the network when it comes to XMPP, so I can point you to the right folks who can help you out.
Well, I was all excited because I added you to my IM, but now I see I'm just one of 2,100, so I'm not.
Oh yeah, I know. It's not special.
If you join Leo's Twitter feed, you'll be one of 20,000 or whatever. Right?
64,000. Let's not, whittle it down here.
Mom, don't sell Leo short. This is Leo casting.
That's right.
Peter, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we will talk after the book's out. Let's get you back on and talk about the book.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds like fun.
Great. Take care. Peter St. Andre.
Thanks, guys.
St. Peter I am. That is so exciting, Randall. Mm-hmm. And let's you and I talk. We can do this offline, but I think that there's something here. I would really like to build something around this.
I think you know the observation that you made in the tub this morning, and I sort of had the same aha moment midway through this conversation, where I really see that maybe the next generation of networks is real time multicast content, user generated content that's real time.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
Authentication is key because you want to say okay, you and you and or maybe some sort of karma where you can ignore people that you don't want to fox. That's probably the better way to do it, is do it more democratically, but. Everybody could feed into that stream and you choose who you want to hear from and follow. I think this is the real way to build community. I mean, I see it happening in our chat room, but I think that there's a way to make it more structured.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It sounds like you're onto something there. No matter how wet you are when you got it, you definitely are onto something.
Now, speaking of wet, you're going on a cruise next week.
I am. And so actually, you know, we're going to be sort of offline for a couple of weeks because I'm going on a cruise. And by the time I get back, I hear you're taking a bit of a trip to France. Yes?
I'm going to go to France to see my daughter December 16th. So we will be offline for Floss Weekly for 3 weeks. We will be
three
back.
3 weeks in a row. Please, people, we will be back. We definitely will be
New
back.
Year's Eve. Just and remember us.
Well, we're taping on New Year's Eve and published a couple days later.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We have some great shows lined up. Since last week when I last chatted with you, we've filled out the entire calendar for January. I'm really excited about this. We've got Jeff Squires of OpenMPI, which is allowing for a huge parallelization of very complex calculations. And he's pretty excited to speak about that.
Thank goodness.
We also have Dan Stenberg from Curl and LibCurl coming up.
Oh, I love Curl. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people are using Curl at the command line. If you're a Linux geek out there or something, you've seen Curl around. And LibCurl is actually used behind the scenes for a lot of different applications.
Yes.
They need to go out and fetch some web address. They're using LibCurl for doing all that. We have Ben and Casey from Processing. This is the new booking. MIT Media Lab created this wonderful technology for being able to define visual and audio shows and processing data through. Sort of think of it as like the thing that I'm not going to remember, but the thing on OS X that allows you to kind of draw graphics from one place to another. I'll remember the name later. But processing really cool stuff, and they just synced in, so we're going to get them mid-January. We also have Chuck and Yin from the Fog cloning system coming up, so you can basically ghost for using open source software. And again, one of the ones I'm really looking forward to is Quim Gill from Nokia talking about MAMO, which is their operating system on the Nokia phone. So should be a really good series of shows coming up, so don't miss out on it. Sorry that we have to take a couple-week break, but hey, you know, we'll be back in full force. I'm already lining up some shows for February as well, so we've just got a constant stream. If you go to twit.tv/floss, you can see the upcoming shows. If you see a name there that doesn't have a contact address by it, it's not up in the need to contact area, please send me the contact address and I'll move it up in the list. Also, my contact address is there too, Merlin@stonehenge.com. You can get a hold of me that way. Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff coming up. And yes, I'll be out on a cruise as of by the time this show publishes. I will be on a cruise ship going out of Fort Lauderdale, heading, let's see, east to Holland America's Private Island, and St. Thomas, Dominica, and Aruba and Curacao. This will be the second Scientific American cruise.
Sounds like a Beach Boys song.
A little bit.
Aruba,
yes.
Curacao.
Every time I hear Aruba, I think that. Yeah, it's going to be great. And this is the cruise I talked about last week, where Neil is actually jumping ship the last three days of the cruise, so I am running the whole conference with my one arm, so it should be a little more interesting. Yeah, it'll be fun. But I would have loved to have you on this one as well. I mean, Ira Flatow, who I know you said you were going to
Science Friday on NPR. I love it.
Absolutely, he'll be on this one too, so it'll be great. And you know, the guy that's talking about the physics of baseball, this should be a
that's
really
one I'd like
show.
To see too. Too late to go on that cruise, but don't forget you can join Randall and me on our trip to China in July. It is not yet sold out. Go to insightcruises.com and you'll see all the cruises there. And we're on Mac Mania 9, July, I think 17th, 16th, something like that, of 2009. We'd love to have you aboard. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to go on the week land adventure before the trip, I'm going on that one with Henry. Mm-hmm. Henry and I
should
are going to do
fun.
That. He's should looking
be.
Forward to it. I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Schwartz, have
Sir?
A great... Great Christmas and cruise, and I will see you in the new year.
Absolutely. See you then.
Happy New Year from Floss Weekly.